welcome to Quote Unquote Guilty, the only guilty pleasure podcast with air quotes in the title. I'm your host, Joe Sanders. I'm joined today by Johnny Stahl.
Hello!
How's it going, Johnny?
Oh, it's doing good. I'm excited to talk about Neighbors. It's been a while.
You haven't been here since the last Neighbors episode, I think.
One Punch Man?
Oh, One Punch Man was since. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you're only out for the great stuff.
I want to be, you know, we all can't come on with Johnny Blazes and Rays. You know, some of us have to do the low levels podcast, too.
And then joining us is Andrew Kropel.
Oh, what a day.
Keep it going. How's it going, Andrew?
It's coming along.
You got a little blood coming out your ear.
Yeah.
That's probably normal.
Oh, so it's Tuesday. No. Actually, it isn't. It's what day is it?
Thursday.
Yeah.
We're recording.
I mean, Saturday.
It's Saturday. The day it comes out.
I just watched The Neighbors, so I am perfectly moderately meh.
It's the next installment of our ongoing Neighbors coverage. Neighbors Season 1, Episode 2, Princess Penelope Arrives.
I don't think it's been long enough since I watched the previous one to really erase the damage the first one did.
It's so weird. For the first one, I was like, I completely remembered this start to finish. There was nothing surprising. I didn't remember this episode at all. Like, watching it today, I was like, there's a lesbian storyline.
I remember that part. I did remember, like, a bit of, like, Philadelphia, and this chick was really into her, but I don't
Trisha.
Remember where it went. Yeah, Trisha.
Patricia.
Yeah. I didn't remember where that went at all.
Yeah, the only thing I remembered from this episode was, I actually got this episode confused with a future episode, because I remember they all met in the office to meet Princess Penelope, and it being completely underwhelming, but then I thought they sang a specific song, which they didn't sing.
I think that's later when Charlie goes to Hawaii, which he mentions in this episode.
There's a setup. There's a setup that delivers later?
Well, delivers in air quotes.
Or like the podcast in air quotes.
Yeah, that's kind of our thing.
Callback. Let's see where you're going with it, Joe.
Quote unquote delivers.
Well, before we get into the episode, we should talk about the special feature on the DVD that we watched before we watched the episode.
Savored it. Mm-hmm. Savored it like a fine steak.
It says R&J on my notes. I don't know what that means.
I told you not to write down R&J. You wouldn't remember what R&J stands for.
Sorry, that's a joke just for us. Okay.
It's Romeo and it's called Romeo and Juliet, and it's like a music video directed by Tommy Wiseau.
Which, honestly, it wasn't too bad. It's actually...
Well, because no one speaks. That helps a lot.
Yeah. But, like, one thing you can say about him is he does know how to construct a few shots.
I cannot say that about him. I mean, he doesn't shoot anything. He hires DPs who actual cameramen. One of whom, at some point I want to talk about the disaster artist, but his DP or one of his DPs for the room got hired by Spielberg to shoot something major. And he had to leave the room halfway through production to go shoot something big. And
he
I can't remember
left
what it was
the
now.
Room?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I don't know what he left for, but I know the room. So I think it was a career ender.
Or he went to work with, a big cinematographer that shot, Schindler's List and stuff. Something like that. He went to work with some big cinematographer, and he had to leave the room.
Sure, Tommy Wiseau threw a fit.
Oh, yeah. He was not a fan. But, yeah, I don't think he's ever constructed a shot in his life. It's just there.
Yeah. Never mind. I take back everything I said.
The song, I don't remember at all the
Oh, no, tune I can't. I can't even hum remember. It.
I can't hum it, and they were all mumbling.
Yeah,
so
I know
can't
none
tell
of the
you
words.
Any of the lyrics.
It was just called Romeo and Juliet.
I just know the woman in it nearly fell down the stairs five times.
Yeah, it was like the first time she ever walked in high heels.
Yeah, there's a woman, and she has some relationship with Tim from Neighbors.
She comes down a spiral staircase, and she gives him the fuck me eyes, and then they go talk, and she hits him, and then
I don't remember how it ends.
And a bunch of guys wearing Tommy Wiseau
underwear.
They all
jump in the pool at the end.
Okay.
And the band is all in Tommy Wiseau underwear.
The band is all wearing Ricky Rick jackets and Tommy Wiseau boxer briefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's their entire outfit.
Oh, and it was...
Sexy. Man. What?
You said that?
And, a couple of them, have the jacket hanging off their shoulder. And the one guy, my favorite guy, it's just, every time you cut to him, he's staring right down the lens of the camera. And he'll, do little kissy faces at you, the audience watching.
He had it down.
He knew what he was doing.
He was trying to get into the next episode of The Neighbors.
Aren't we all? I mean,
I read when this came out, I like looked at the Neighbors website and it said new episodes coming summer 2017. Like, why haven't we gotten new Neighbors?
It's not the end of summer yet.
Or maybe it's on Hulu and I don't have Hulu anymore.
I have Hulu. I need to check this out.
Check if there's more Neighbors for us to watch.
Well, all right. It's not a good sign when they took off the Neighbors. They are the ones who produced it.
Fuck, straight to DVD, Tommy. I don't care, but I want more.
I'm addicted.
Oh my gosh. What would you do, Joe, if you were able to get Tommy Wiseau onto this podcast?
Oh, I would jerk off the entire time. Just like, oh, Tommy, you're a genius.
I talked to James Sanford about this because when he was running the Alamo here in Kalamazoo, that is now gone. So sad.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, he looked into what it takes to bring Tommy Wiseau in for a viewing. Apparently, it is an insane writer that he brings in. It's like a $10,000 guarantee. You have to pay for his hotel, and he gets, I can't remember what his daily per diem is, but it was something they were like, okay, we can't do it.
Yeah.
And then he'd also talk to other people who had actually brought in Wiseau, and apparently it's a real crapshoot if he shows up. And then if he does show up, it's a crapshoot if he's on topic or even coherent.
Wow. And still, totally worth it, I think. So let's add that to the Patreon goals.
So $10,000.
$10,000, and I will bring in Tommy Wiseau.
If I can meet his writer, gonna be here.
Oh, that's maybe. You should actually put that as a goal.
Totally, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find out all of it.
You could do like a phone interview, right? Maybe.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I wonder how much it would cost to like have him Skype in.
And just talk about anything. Anything you want. Just go. I'd love to hear anything.
Quote unquote guilty. Quote unquote Tommy Wiseau.
Of course, the 10,000 has to be like my quarter of the Patreon. So it has to be like actually $40,000 that we make on Patreon.
You just can't rob all of your Patreon.
Yeah, yeah. I can't just take the other show's Patreon.
I'd chip in.
Well, as long as dealing with Philip doesn't keep putting out episodes, I get that anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, Princess Penelope arrives starts appropriately with Princess Penelope arriving.
Do we need to set this up? Do we need to set this up?
Are everyone excited about Princess Penelope arriving? Set it up how?
Maybe your listener has just come in for the first time, and what is this Neighbors? I'm just scrolling through SoundCloud, and it's just popped up.
I guess that's fair. Okay.
Here, Joe, give me a brief synopsis of the first episode.
Can you give me a synopsis?
The first episode, I seem to remember the main storyline of the first episode being Cece looking for her chicken.
Very good.
That's one.
That's about it. I mean, we get introduced to other characters briefly, like there's Richard, who is going to kill himself, but that's all we get from him. There's Philadelphia walking around in a bikini for no reason. She continues to do that later.
Spoilers. She still does.
Charlie and BB are running this apartment complex, and they have a wonderful rapport.
Apparently they're fucking, we find out in this episode.
Yeah, in episode two, they've started fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's real into it.
She's real into it. She had a lot of fun last night.
Like,
we are in exquisite detail told about how good he is.
It's almost as if he wrote the script or something.
It's almost as if, yeah, Charlie is writing this universe for himself to be a real stud.
Because I think in the first episode, we're kind of like, oh, BB's the one grounded character who doesn't come across as this horrible female stereotype that Wiseau likes to present about all women in all of his genres.
Episode two, she's fucking Charlie.
Yep.
Casually,
but she wants more. I think at the end, she's kind of jealous because he's going to Hawaii, and she's like, who are you seeing? Another woman? Are you going there for another girl? Are you going to see these Hawaiian hookers? Which we all know, sweet as pineapple. But he's going to buy her a red car to alleviate that jealousy.
Yes.
I wrote that down.
Because this is a fairly elite apartment complex. The Glasgow apartments. Despite all the evidence to the contrary.
Like how it looks.
Like how it looks and the people who live there.
Clientele.
And there are freaking dinosaurs outside.
Is. We know what the rent is from episode one. It's like $800
a month,
I think. Mm-hmm. Or $400 a month?
No,
it was a $200 deposit with
$600 rent.
Yeah.
Okay, so $600 a month is nothing.
Uh-huh. No.
But yet we have a literal princess from Britain coming to stay at this apartment complex.
Yeah, she's not from the United Kingdom.
Which she apparently does periodically. Britain. She was here a year ago. Mm-hmm. She signed a lease. Yep. I don't know how long the lease was for, but apparently not a full Very year. Short.
A week.
Summer lease. You know, the classic summer lease. Uh-huh. Like you get when you go to a place.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. She's just there for the summer. She summers in this in Wissopia.
Wissopia. But before returning to Britain.
Yeah. Which apparently thinks they own everything.
No, to be fair, this is definitely America.
Oh, they say America.
Yeah, which America is it, though?
Which is America it, is it?
Is it the real America? No. It's the America run by France, my friend.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
That reference is coming up.
Our competing theories about the Wissopia. This is a
France-owned America, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, where the Louisiana Purchase did not happen.
Right.
And France conquered Russia.
Mm-hmm. Thus, the intro.
Exactly.
This is very subtle, listener.
Yeah, yeah, because this is a universe where... What was it? Napoleon?
Napoleon actually managed to conquer Stalingrad.
Yeah.
And, you know, he fought Russia in winter and won.
And the Russian Empire falls early.
I guess we are getting some of the seeds for this idea that France is the dominant superpower in this universe because... Tommy Wiseau has a line about how, oh, the British think they own everything.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And also, America is very progressive, apparently, because...
We have lesbians here.
No, you can walk around in a bikini.
Well, yeah. And that's the American way.
Yeah,
BB's upset that Philadelphia just wanders around in a bikini all over the place, and then maybe she's not appropriate to invite to meet a princess.
A literal princess. I cannot stress that enough. She's a real princess. She is royalty.
She wears a fez.
She's in line for the fucking crown of Britain.
In line. She will rule one day. Because she's not traveling with a husband, so she's already a princess, which means she is... So
Tim is angling to be a king.
Oh, interesting.
Unless, of course, she's
But the King
like
of England, I mean,
Britain.
In this universe,
Britain
makes sense.
It's different. Britain. She's princess from Britain, not England.
All of Britain. Do you think Britain includes Ireland in this universe?
No. Because that would be the United Kingdom.
Okay.
The United Kingdom, this is where you call a Scottish person or an Irish person, you call
Ireland did not separate itself.
Well, there's two Ireland's.
Right.
There's the island of Ireland, and then there's...
Northern Ireland.
Which
is part of the United Kingdom, but not part of Britain.
Almost as if you don't know geography, Joe.
But Scotland and Wales are part of Britain. I know some things.
But do not call them British. They will be very pissed.
Really?
Well, yes. In this universe, you can call them British.
Yeah.
This universe, because, it's fine.
You do not call Scottish and Irish British. They get very mad about that.
But I heard David Tennant refer to himself as British, and he's Scottish. It's kind of like, we can use that word, but you can't use that word.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
The United Kingdom is this whole, is all of those jigsaw pieces put together into one.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought it was, United Kingdom includes Northern Ireland, Britain includes Scotland, Wales, England, and then English is England.
England. Yeah.
And they're English. Or British?
Okay,
no,
so...
No, British is the entire island.
Okay.
She's the princess of Britain.
But not the Falklands.
Not Belize. Or Canada.
Or Hawaii.
Yeah.
Canada might still be British.
Ooh.
In this world.
So...
Okay.
before she even shows up, though, we get... Everyone's so excited to meet Princess Penelope. We have Tim... Who's bouncing his fucking basketball through his scene again asking for ice cream.
The editing in this, like, number one, the film editing itself is beautiful in this. We'll come to that a little bit later.
Yeah, there's a wonderful moment of editing later.
The sound editing is divine.
Très magnifique, no?
Très magnifique.
It's perfect.
I mean, especially in the first scene with Philadelphia and... Patricia,
yes,
where she's like, I had a dream where I kissed you, now I really want
to
kiss you.
I had a dream where I wanted to kiss you. I
understand what you're going through.
And then I wrote down, is the microphone on her shoe?
I don't.
Upper ass.
Because every time she steps, it's like, click, 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 click.
And she takes such tiny steps, too. That's the funny thing. Like, a normal person would be able to walk from the door to the couch where she ends up laying in, like, 3 steps, and it takes her, like, 16.
Ugh. It's like their microphone was down that day, so they used an old Burger King drive-thru.
Oh, man.
So yeah, this plot basically revolves around those two things. Princess Penelope is coming and arrives.
She does arrive, and as promised in the title.
This Philadelphia Trisha lesbian tension.
Yeah, which is, it changes moment to moment. Like, we have the scene where she's like, oh, I have a crush on you, I dream about you, and then they make
out. We need to make out, yeah, we need to kiss, and then
she's
like, no.
Worst lesbian kiss ever put to film, I think. It's just so awkward and weird. It looks like old, like, 80s porn lesbians who aren't really lesbians that just kind of flap their lips together.
We're so lesbian.
We're so lesbian. We're lesbian the hell out of this.
We're gonna lesbian the hell out of each other.
And then suddenly Philadelphia's like, okay, I'm done with this.
She's like, no, I need space. I need time. And then apparently kicks Patricia out of her own apartment.
It was very confusing because, yeah, she makes Patricia leave because she needs to think about it. But then in the next office scene, BB, who's best friends with Trisha, then tells us that Philadelphia came and kissed her and then left.
Yeah. Which is completely untrue. So Patricia's a fucking liar.
Really quick.
Just like all of them.
Lesbians, women, or just...
Whatever. All of them. Sure.
We're forgetting about the most important line, I think, of the series that comes in the scene.
All right. Is it what a day?
No. I don't understand what's going on. She says that when, after they make out, Philadelphia says, I don't understand what's going on. And I was like... That encapsulates everything just so perfectly.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
We can recreate the dialogue of the scene pretty easily. It goes, follow your heart, they kiss, drink wine. Then it goes, I understand what you're going through. I don't understand what's going on.
And then she's like, you know I care about you. And then Patricia jumps right to, I love you.
Yeah, there was a little escalation.
I love you, you know that. And I was like, wait.
I know you. As if they discussed this topic before. I think they did in episode one. Don't they have a... Where she's like, I love you or something. And she's like, I'm not a lesbian. You know, not a lesbian.
Maybe.
The pizza guy. When did the pizza guy...
That was Joe.
Joe?
I wonder how you remember that
name. I remember him.
Thank God there isn't an Andrew.
Well, I remember that because it's the name of the little kid in Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, it's really easy.
No,
the little kid that stands up to Rhino at the end makes me want to cry.
Because then he would have normally been killed.
Yeah.
He should have been killed. So, but, alright, so... no, those were different lesbians. Were they different lesbians?
Well, I think one was Trish.
Trish could have been one of the lesbians in that scene with Joe. I don't remember. But I don't think Philadelphia was in
that. No, she was not in that scene.
No, we would have remembered.
I don't think her and Trish were talking about, you know, lesbians in the episode one. I don't remember what Philadelphia's role in episode one was other than bikini wearer.
Yeah. Now, I had talked to you a little bit about this, Joe, and I wanted to know, you are very disgusted by Philadelphia.
I'm not going to say very disgusted. I do not find her attractive.
He's revolted.
I'm a little... Okay, I'm more disgusted by the fact that she is objectified constantly and a little bit...
And her whole character seems to be...
She is okay with that, like, as an actress.
Yeah, that seems to be her entire role.
Yeah. She is an object. She barely walks and talks. She just is an inanimate object.
So you could replace her with a mannequin or a real doll, and the scene would be just as certain.
If they replaced her with a mannequin and everyone treated her like she was still a real woman, this would be the best fucking TV show ever made. It would be like...
It would be pretty deep because it would be like, we replaced this sex object, or this woman who's supposed to be a sex object, with an actual object.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a great metaphor. But it would be like, I watched a little bit of Angie Tribeca. Have you either of you seen this?
No.
It's a like a cop procedural parody, but it's played super straight. And one of the cops is a police dog. But they always treat the dog as if it's a real police officer, like it's a guy. So, I don't know. Just, I think if they had done that just completely earnestly, and Philadelphia is literally a mannequin,
that would have...
Oh, yeah. I think that would have served far more truth than this could ever really hope to bring.
Because what does she really do other than like be wishy-washy about her sexuality and walk around?
Yeah, because what's the next scene is...
The next scene is in Troy's apartment. They're all hanging out.
With her, yeah, with them.
Patricia, Philadelphia, and Troy are hanging out drinking. And Philadelphia's sexuality swings on a dime because she will go from, like, hey, let's all fool around, let's all dance, to, oh my god, Patricia, stop it. You're being such a bitch.
And then she's like dancing with Troy. Aren't you jealous, Trisha? Aren't you jealous? And look how jealous she is. Oh my gosh, Patricia,
stop it. I'm not a lesbian.
Well, we're forgetting that Mr. B, who is the Asian guy. I'm assuming Mr. B stands for black.
Yes. We're hoping it does. We really hope this does.
And, I mean, until it's established otherwise, I'm okay with that.
He comes in and he buys his drugs and sexually harasses people.
Yeah, he tries to get a three-way going, mm-hmm. which apparently just plants the idea in their head, because as soon as he leaves, they're like, why don't we have a three-way with Troy if Mr. B had hung out?
Because we find out that Philadelphia and Troy have also been fucking. Mm-hmm. And apparently,
because she says, I think I might have sex with Troy.
Oh, I thought they had been fucking because they hear about his big dick or something.
Well, yeah, they've heard rumors about it, but, you know, they don't know. They're going to find out.
Which, of course, the lesbian is immediately interested in. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's go see if this is true.
So, this is another reason why I think that this takes place in France, America. Who calls it a menage a trois anymore?
No, that's classy.
In a French-dominated society?
Everyone. But
menage a trois sounds like you're having classy three-way sex. Not like a dirty throw a tarp down and just fuck each other kind of three-way.
Joe, when you're editing this later, remember to get a tarp just in case.
I have one everywhere I go, just to be sure.
You got a three-way tarp. You never know what's going to pop up.
You don't want to tarp
the trunk of his car.
There's three of us here right now.
I mean, the logic holds.
Well, when you put it that way.
So, yeah, that whole three-way scene where she's like constantly like, ooh, let's be flirty. Ooh, get away from me. Is, ugh, frustrating as fuck.
What is this improv type, Andrew? Oh. I think you
have. not the yes and method, but the is this no the
scene,
but.
Is this the scene that came up in? I every time someone says something, someone else has to contradict it and change the direction of the scene.
So I'm a lesbian. No, let's have a three-way. Oh, no, but let's get Troy. No, but.
Do you guys want to try a round of no, but?
That's an improv. Yeah, I need a location.
We'll do a little improv game.
All right.
Okay, audience, we need a location.
Upstairs. Oh, that is terrible. If you want to fuck an improv group, because I once dated an improv group, so I know about this.
You dated an entire improv group?
Well, when you date one person in an improv group, you're fucking all of them. All right.
It's like that SNL sketch. What was it? It's like an energy drink for guys who date theater majors.
I need that.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
Yeah, when you date a member of an improv group, you're dating all of them, and they are all on all the time with each other. It's exhausting. Really exhausting. So
Johnny, say a statement about maybe us three right now.
Yeah.
Like, create a scene with a sentence, and we'll know but you.
Okay. I need a location, and I need an occupation.
You said you had one that, like,
yeah,
really...
Yeah. Oh, the one you... If you want to... yeah, it comes back to it. You say something very generic. Around the corner... Upstairs. Those are two suggestions improv groups fucking hate. Because they give you no context to anything. They give you no occupation, no sense of the scene.
I'll give you a location. Andrew can give you... What did you mean? An occupation.
Slaughterhouse. Slaughterhouse. Okay, great.
And what am I supposed to give?
An occupation.
An occupation at
hopefully other than a slaughterhouse.
A clown.
A clown who works at a slaughterhouse.
Well, he doesn't have to work there. No, but he doesn't have to work there.
I'm John Wayne Gacy, and I'm coming to get rid of the bodies, baby. I got sick of burying them in my backyard.
No, but we need you to get back to work, John.
Let's go work here.
Seriously, stop. Stop pretending to be a clown.
I take my clown in very seriously at the slaughterhouse. I got to bring joy to all those dying
cattle. No, but actually, you're a cow, not a clown.
End scene.
Moo moo, bitches.
That's fun, actually. Because I just watched The Incredible Jessica James on Netflix.
I want to see that really
It's really, good. It's really good. And at one point, she's like teaching her group of little actors how to do yes and improv. And they have this sort of cute little scene, this yes and scene. It's like, no, but it's so much funner. It's like, I have to go to work today. No, but.
I will say the scene that we just put together makes as much logical sense as anything in The Neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, it makes more logical sense. There was like, you're a clown? Oh, no, but really, you're a cow. Like, Come on, that makes, like, there's some logic to it.
Well, it makes sense
and to know, said, but I'm a magical talking.
But it makes sense to have a serial killer cow who kills other cows.
So old as he no, but...
No, but.
No.
You're remorseful about it.
I'm trying to think of a cow pun with John Wayne Gacy. Couldn't come up with it.
John Wayne Gacy?
Moosey? No. No. I'll work on
well,
this.
John Wayne could be a cowboy.
Oh, John Wayne was a cowboy.
Well, he was an actor.
He was an actor.
No, but
pretended to be a cowboy.
Actor in air quotes. Just fuck you, John Wayne. I'm sorry. Come at me, internet.
Bring it.
John
Joe's
Wayne
ready.
Gacy. There we go. Moo.
John Wayne Grassy?
That's a stretch.
Yeah, that's a
you're stretching. You're reaching.
Puns are Andrew's forte.
What is this, 1640? Are puns back?
Puns have never gone away.
Yeah. That's you just
was that a
it.
Pun?
Puns have never gone
no.
away.
No, damn it.
I don't think you know what a pun
puns
is.
Puns have never been played out. That's a pun.
Could you say that puns are always fun? No, that's a rhyme.
Yeah, it's a rhyme, not a pun.
Not even a good one.
It's a very simple rhyme.
It had no meter or step. No. Was it a haiku?
No. All right, what's next?
So, we didn't talk about... We, like, skipped a whole bunch, I think.
Oh, we've been jumping around.
Yeah, we just jump around. That's fine.
You can really just... There's no order. You could probably cut up all these scenes.
Oh, no, mix no. There was a definite order this time.
Oh,
I had a real hard time following Charlie's arc through this episode. Like, Charlie and BB, I have no idea what they're trying to do other than flirt.
So...
They have three things.
Oh.
Three things. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I didn't want to cut you off here. But they have three objectives. One, Princess Penelope is coming. We have to know that. And the room is not big enough to hold everybody. But we still get everybody in the room.
Yeah.
Two, they're fucking. It's very important for us to know that they're banging. It's at the open and the bottom of the show. Right?
Yeah.
If you're gonna
put
gonna
those
go places.
To dinner. They're gonna go on
yeah.
a date and
it's
be
the
together.
Top
it's
and
not
the
just
bottom
it's just not dirty tart fucking with them. They're in a serious thing.
Dirty sorry.
As a man
so you can dirty tart fuck and be in a serious relationship.
As a man who has seen dirty
it's a bit
tart closed
fucking.
Minded, I've seen dirty tart fucking, it's pretty horrible. Not everything you think it would be. The girl was on
it a bit.
The girl was on a hoist, and there was a Hitachi magic wand. It was sorry. Yeah, I don't really mean to reminisce, but
the good old days.
Oh, yeah. With one thing, Charlie at the very beginning of the episode, when he's talking about Princess Penelope coming, he keeps saying "it's coming."
It's coming.
It's
coming.
He so wrote that down. He says "it's coming."
Well, of course they're French and they hate the British.
That's
oh.
true.
Oh.
Okay, this all does hold together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so he said the top of the show, end of the show, they're fucking. That's important, right?
Yeah.
You don't put that information there.
Also important that nothing disrupts their fucking over the course of the episode. There's no conflict.
No.
BB's on board with whatever Charlie gives her.
Oh yeah. And you would be if Tommy
as
Wiseau
was comes with a side of his dick.
Tommy Wiseau was banging you on the back end, you would not complain either. And then the third thing is he's going to Hawaii. We established that for the future episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
When he's
laying
only
groundwork.
Strong enough to play one character.
Yeah, no Ricky Rick in this episode.
No.
Oh, man. That's why this episode felt like it was lacking.
I thought this... Well, this is going to come up later. I thought this was the one where he becomes Ricky Rick in the middle of a scene. But that's later. Because I thought they threw a welcome party for Princess Penelope and that was it. But it must
I think
be some
they do it in
later.
Episode 3. Do they throw? They do a welcome party
because
is it for
that's
Penelope?
Where they sing the song that basically solidifies that. No, it's his
that's,
going away
yeah,
party. It's his going
is
away.
Is it a going
party
away party for
to
Charlie?
Hawaii?
Okay, because they sing the song in the. We'll get to it later.
Yeah,
this I thought it was this episode.
Yeah,
but no Ricky Rick in this episode.
Mm-hmm. So,
which if you're just joining us, is Tommy Wiseau's other character who's 18 years old.
Yeah, and dating a literal witch.
Yep, who we see in the episode, but she doesn't know witchcraft.
She does not cast any spells this time.
Or speak. She just stands there and looks pretty.
She says her name. Lula.
Lula, yeah.
She tells us.
So, Bebe. Why do I keep on calling her Bebe? Because there's
Bebe,
there's a show,
Bebe.
There's a movie,
Bebe.
An animated movie called Bebe's Kids, and it's spelled B-E-B-E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
No, her name is Bebe.
Yeah, so Bebe, she ties the perfect pentagon knot. Of
oh,
a tie.
Yeah. Which is
oh,
so nervous.
Yeah.
This is the first scene.
Uh huh.
She puts a tie in him by like just wrapping it around and like tying it in a bow and like, there you go, you're all set.
Like the big end is much shorter than the skinny end. And
this is where we get that they are fucking and they're having this nervous tension of sexualness is just coming out of the scene.
You can tell there's
no, but.
Okay, good. No, but me with this. This nervous tension that's coming out of the scene. No, but you realize that it's crabs that are itching your crotch, not sexual excitement.
Yes.
No, but they are literal STD type mites. Crabs.
Well, literal tiny crabs in this world.
Yes.
It's not lice, pubic lice. It's actual miniature crabs.
Exactly. You can always tell when tension, like sexual tension, is high when they basically have to say, hey, sexual tension is high in the scene. Why are you so nervous around me?
Oh, because you're so cute.
Yeah.
Last night was fun.
I love looking into your eyes.
She gives him this shirt. It's like purple, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, this really brings out your face.
Brings out your face.
This color really brings out your face.
To be fair, it is heavily framed by a black wig.
Oh my gosh. That's why I wrote down chicken, too. When he takes off his first shirt, he's wearing, of course, the Tommy Wiseau tank top underneath. I did some research into his clothing line yesterday. I saw that some of their stuff is on sale, by the way.
Oh.
But his arms look so weird.
Yeah, he's looking really gaunt now.
Uh-huh. Like,
gaunt?
Well, not gaunt, but he's much more thin. Like, in the room, he actually kind of had a physique.
Yeah, yeah.
It was gross, but he had a physique.
It looks like chicken. Like, raw chicken arms.
Well, that's because the synthetic alien, or the alien that's inside, is wearing a synthetic human suit, and it's just breaking down over time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why it looks like raw chicken now.
No. But it is a bad genie wish.
Oh, it's part of the bad genie wish. Which is our other. We have three competing theories about why Zoe, listener, who's just joining us.
What I know one is it's three bad genie wishes.
Yep, or monkey's paw.
Monkey paw.
We established it was a monkey paw with Star Wars.
You have a monkey paw.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the other two are.
He's an alien from another land trying to
blend in.
I don't even think we come up with a motive. Like, he just likes being a human.
He's just here.
And he wants to write about the human race.
He's not, the human experience.
And I don't know what the third is.
This is the Wiseopia. This is he can see the future and he's trying to tell us about the terrible Trump world we're going to live in soon.
I don't remember that one.
I think so. By the way, this is another case where Hillary won. With the dinosaurs and the exploding eagles.
So. Oh, that happens. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You think this is Hillary's America?
This is Hillary's
slash France.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Where emails don't matter.
Because no computers work. And
he does end up fucking with the printer a lot.
And he does actually. The computer works as long as you put just scotch tape on the monitor.
Yeah. He starts taping up the monitor. I can't figure out this program. I'm putting tape on it. It's just not working.
I'm cut and pasting. I can see this being Hillary's America.
Yeah.
This is what would happen.
This is definitely... This does take place in the Wiseopian... Wiseopia.
This was filmed 10 years prior to now. This is 2007 to 2000...
No, how long did it take to put out? 2014 was when it came out.
But he was filming it.
The copyright... He's right, like 2008 or something. Yeah,
the copyright. It took like 4 or 5 years to film this and get it out to us.
Man, he is not a good director, is he?
Everything is perfect, Andrew. Every scene was constructed to tell us something.
I'm sure Andrew hates to be the first one to point out that Tommy Wiseau maybe isn't the best director.
No, everything is put there for a reason. The tape on the computer was about Hillary's emails. Now there's more. More to find. We just gotta keep looking. There's more Benghazi out there. Keep digging.
There's more Benghazi.
Suddenly.
I've had enough Benghazis.
I could use like two more. I think
I'm full. I'm stuffed.
You're stuffed on Benghazis.
I'm a little peckish for
That's Benghazis. Gonna be my new all-you-can-eat restaurant. Come to Benghazis. Comes with a side of scandal.
Scandaled potatoes.
Oh.
That wasn't a good pun. That wasn't a pun.
John Wayne Gratin potatoes.
John Wayne Gratin potatoes.
Was that a pun?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
It's like just a wonderful mashup. I wrote down at the beginning of the first Philadelphia Patricia scene that Philadelphia says, "I think I have to pee."
That is her opening line. That was a... Which for an improv, would actually be a pretty good starting point for somebody, because it's a clear motive, and it gives you something to do.
I think I have to pee. No, but maybe you're a lesbian.
But maybe you want to kiss me, because you had a dream about it.
But...
No, but get out of here. I don't like this anymore.
No, but this is my apartment.
Yeah, we know it's not Philadelphia's apartment because everything isn't painted pink with like house paint.
TV was painted pink with house paint.
Horribly painted pink. Like, this pink stain will work on anything, right?
It's like on the screen of her television.
It's on the screen.
Did we also notice in that scene, this is from the first episode, that the curtains were on the outside of the windows?
Yes, in Philadelphia's apartment. I didn't notice it in any apartment. But everything is like pitch black out the window. I did notice that.
Well, they have to keep it pitch black. Like, they have to black out the...
Because of the dinosaurs.
Yeah. And the exploding like eagles.
I can see movement. It all holds together so well.
Oh, there is another through line throughout this, which is ice cream.
Yeah, we have an ice cream callback. It's like a continuation from the last episode where Tim keeps trying to feed everyone ice cream.
Oh, God.
But he's not borrowing money anymore. He's buying his own ice cream and then letting it melt and then spilling it all over the place.
Yeah, he comes in. He's like, I got ice cream for everybody. And everyone's like, ice cream, yay.
Whoa, you're glossing over that he sings, I bought you ice cream. I bought you ice cream.
He's not bouncing a basketball.
I bought you ice cream. And no,
he
does. You ice cream,
he bounces
ice cream.
The basketball once. Every scene, he has to bounce the basketball at least one time. At least when he's in that office.
That first scene he's in, he bounces it, regularly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And they play a catch, like, reminiscent of the room.
Yeah. Hey, I'm open. Okay, here you go.
Which represents the emails that Hillary was bouncing back and forth between her surrogates. I'm not seeing this, Joe.
Oh, there is no Russia.
There's no Russia.
Russia's been overtaken.
By France. By France, so there's...
There are no emails. That's how she's able to win.
And that's how the dinosaurs have survived to this day.
No, because there's such a revolt by real America that they have to release the government dinosaur project to keep the Americans in line.
But that got out of control, so they had to release their exploding hawk initiative.
Technology, yeah.
To take care of the dinosaur problem, as well as their chicken initiative.
It's all right.
To bait the...
It all holds together.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Quote Unquote Guilty, where a bunch of guys ramble about random shit.
Welcome to InfoWars!
InfoWars! Oh, that is InfoWars. Oh, shit. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's InfoWars?
You don't know InfoWars? Oh, my God. You live a charmed life, my friend.
Yeah, you are so lucky.
Have you heard the name Alex Jones?
Uh-uh. What?
He sounds like a comic book character.
Yeah.
Is that the Iron Fist's real name?
No.
No. He's like... if you took Lex Luthor,
J. Jonah Jameson,
definitely him, and like pure racism
and a racist. This is garden variety racist, not a fancy racist.
Oh, J. Jonah Jameson is definitely a racist. He might not spout it, but
he thinks Spider-Man is black.
Yeah, come on, that's why he hates him.
Oh man,
why would he have to wear a mask if he weren't a minority?
None of the other white superheroes wear a mask.
That's right. None of the other fine, proud white superheroes.
But Tony Stark came out and said, hey, I'm Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because he was white. He didn't have to hide it.
Yeah. You know that Black Panther's black under that mask.
Not strangely, like, pure alabaster.
Shocking. The Black Panther was black. I can't read this anymore.
Oh, God.
Wow. How did this all fit together? We were talking about Alex Jones and how you don't know who Alex Jones is, and you're so fucking lucky.
Great. I'm glad.
Last week, Tonight did an episode on him, did a huge segment on him.
Is it the guy that, like, they put a bunch of his rants to music a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember Pizzagate, about how the Democrats were secretly running a pedophile operation of a pizza parlor?
Okay, yeah.
That showed up on his website first.
The water is turning us gay.
Yeah.
It's turning the frogs gay, actually.
You know, I find people who have to say those kind of things are probably gay.
Yeah.
And looking for a reason.
If you're that against being gay, then you are.
Yeah, I heard a senator once who was like, well, if we legalize gay marriage, then everybody could just get gay. Why wouldn't two guys just get married together then? I don't understand. He's like, that's all that's keeping you from marrying another man? You might be gay.
That's all that's keeping me from marrying another man. Oh, wait, it's legal now.
Yeah. Young boys will just pretend to be women to go into the girls' bathroom to see naked girls, because we all know it's cool for young teenage boys to pretend to be girls.
Yeah.
Right? That gets you a lot of cred.
They can't get enough of that.
other teenage boys are always like, yeah, I want to pretend to be a girl too. That's yeah, that's so cool.
I don't think he understands that the girls' room has stalls that are private.
Joe, don't you know?
You should be more worried about young girls.
How do you know
boys
that, Joe?
Coming into the boys' room and trying to get a peek at boys.
Don't you know that even though this is a women's private space, it's still for men to ogle over?
Okay. That way you can watch them.
Well, they are here for our gratification, so.
Poop.
Yeah.
Super hot.
I can put whatever I want. Because I'm not in there, I can imagine anything that's going on. Philadelphia and Trisha are just making out in there.
Well, imagine something better than that. Please? We've seen that.
Please, please imagine something better than that.
John Wayne Gacy, as a cow, is murdering another cow.
No, but maybe he's buying some jelly beans.
He's buying magic beans that will grow the beanstalk that he can climb up to so that he can get the magic harp that will sing him a song to make him a real boy and not a clown monster cow anymore.
This is the real trick to know, but is that two people are playing yes and then one person keeps fucking it up. That's how you make it work. So two people are like, I'm a zombie, yes, and we're going to fight. No, but maybe, maybe you're actually cousins and you don't really get along that well.
And we live in a fantasy world.
That's how you play no but.
I think this is going to be an improv game.
I kind of want to make that a thing on Word Salad Radio now. Three people, two people playing yes and one playing no but.
And every once in a while you throw in that maybe or guy.
That's the game Trump's playing with everybody.
Maybe.
Right? He's got all these policy people coming out, then he gets on Twitter and goes, no, but we're going to throw all the transgenders out. And then everybody has to be like, well, yes and...
Oh, it's sad.
That's awesome.
No.
Yep.
Oh, okay. When Princess Penelope arrives.
Oh, this is a shit show.
Charlie says, welcome to America, Princess. Remember?
Well, first off, the person who introduces her is the handyman.
Yeah.
Ed, I think.
Ed, the porno handyman, to go pick her up.
Yeah, it's like, why? She's like two blocks away. I'm like, why aren't you picking her up? This is your job.
No,
and then he goes and like immediately comes back and like, oh, she was right outside. I guess she walked the two blocks in the time it took me to walk the two blocks and tell you.
She probably ran because two of blocks the dinosaurs.
Away. Yeah.
You don't walk in America.
Yeah, you don't walk in America. You don't walk in Wysopia.
That's why there's no fat people in this episode.
Whoa.
I don't know. Well, is Mr. B?
He's
portly.
He's portly.
You know, He just sits around eating drugs and
sexually harassing people.
Proposing threesomes to any two women he comes across at the same time.
What you don't understand is in Wysopia's world, that was okay. It's just, you could just feel up on two women and propose a three-way, and then for them to go, nah, not with you.
Morality is a social construct. In Wysopia, it's completely different.
Don't judge them by our culture.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be unfair.
Because Tim... On introduction of Princess Penelope, has a very clear ass grab. Just goes right up in the meat of it, too.
It's like
it wasn't even like a pinch.
Something went up in there.
Oh, he got, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like, a concho, my friend.
Yeah.
That was a concho.
There's like a finger that went up a certain
oh,
hole.
God.
Joe doesn't seem to know what concho is.
I know.
I'm going to get you. Now you're going to know. There's this game that Japanese kids would play with each other. You go like this, you sneak up, put your fingers together with your index fingers pointed out. And then you jab a person in their butthole when they're not looking. It's called a concho.
So typical Tuesday, in other words.
Yeah.
It's
I didn't know there was a word for it, but yeah.
Japanese have so many beautiful words.
I'm very aware of this practice.
Japanese have so many beautiful words.
I teach high school, so. Me and those little scamps love to give a concho.
Mostly it's them running around saying, no, sir, no, please.
Yeah, I'm really good at concho. They all suck.
Did you ever have the spanking machine as a kid?
No.
What? Apparently this is just me getting molested.
It was like, does your family line up? You have to run a gauntlet of spanks?
It was like, I remember this happening like in a gymnastics class. I just got molested.
I don't mean to laugh.
What? Okay.
So what you would do is everybody would line up and spread their legs a little. And you'd have to crawl through everybody's legs Well, they spanked you as you went through.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's a spanking machine.
I have done this. Yeah.
What in the hell are you guys talking about?
It's a spanking machine.
I don't remember the context for when I did it, but it seems like a gym class type thing.
You come almost to do.
I think totally. Or I did not get lucky. One of the two.
One of those schools
was left out. Do you want to do one right now with just the three?
Pull out the tarp. Let's go. All
right. It's also conveniently a twister mat. But yeah, so the whole thing I was going to bring around is that now that you know the concho machine, you could just line your students up. And have them run through while you jab them in the ass with your fingers.
They do like a crab crawl sideways. And then we just get them as they go.
Oh, man.
So, anyway. In the scene where Princess Penelope shows up.
Oh, yeah, Tim gets up her ass.
Yeah.
I mean, real up there.
I was making a note, but you guys were pointed it out.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And then we introduce everybody who crams into the scene, but they all, since, you know, this is clearly a set, but they don't disperse the illusion that they're on a set, they all pile onto one side of it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? Because in a regular room, people would kind of disperse to be evenly filling the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They all literally just line up against one wall.
And they are all wearing their Sunday bests.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia has a new bikini.
Philadelphia's in her brand new...
She tells us.
...church bikini. Now, here's my question for you, since the attire has come up. Where the fuck is Mariana's hat? She just spent an entire scene talking about this hat she bought just for Princess Penelope's arrival. She doesn't have it when Princess Penelope arrives.
It's almost as if...
No, I want to see. There's maybe a cutscene that's going to come into about somebody walking in the hallway like, that hat sucks, Trisha. Or not Trisha, but Mariana.
Mariana, yeah.
Mariana, that hat sucks. You shouldn't wear that. Okay.
Maybe that's what happens right after she runs into Cece in the hallway.
Cece tells her.
Maybe the hat is...
Because I can't remember if she's wearing the hat there.
The hat represents the missing emails.
Penelope is wearing the hat that she wore. She saw that she was going to... I don't know. It's as if the logic is flawed.
It's not flawed! Everything is there for a reason! He sculpted over 4 years! Every scene crafted to meticulous perfection.
You guys, quick side note, everyone needs to go listen to the Time Cop of How'd This Get Made of Time Cop.
And our episode of Time Cop.
Which came before.
We did it first.
Uh-huh.
We also did Chopping Mall first.
Yep.
They just did a Chopping Mall episode.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, but they, number one, they have issues with puns as well.
Their audience does, yeah. Which I thought was really funny.
And then also, what was the other thing? Oh, Nick Kroll in it is the best.
Oh, hilarious.
Nick Kroll's great. I think the tagline for Time Cop is perhaps the logic of Time Cop doesn't all make sense. Something like that.
All right,
it's almost as if the logic of Time Cop is flawed.
Did we have to bring it back to Neighbors?
Neighbors, season 1, episode 2.
There was a cut. Where was that? Like, we jumped from the office scene to have the cut scene where we synchronized to come back to the office?
I don't remember what they were doing. I think it might have been after the eviction scene.
It was the eviction scene. Because
Charlie and BB, we'll come back to the eviction in a minute, because that's where the crazy cut is. But there's a transition during a conversation between Charlie and BB where he probably says, what a day, like 3 times in a row, and then goes, it does the establishing shot, and then it comes back to the same scene.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And continues on, it's the same conversation.
You would assume that the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da would be coming in during, like, the commercial breaks. Like, you would go out on it and come back in on it. Not in this case. This case, in a normal, not well-crafted show, the scene would have ended and a new scene would have began, but not in this genius work.
Yeah.
He's very avant-garde.
Subvertive.
Uh-huh. That's a way to discuss this. Because that scene establishes, we start with Richard coming in, and he's the guy in the first episode. I think it's the first shot, right? He's like looking in the mirror like, I'm going to kill myself.
I don't think it's the first shot, but yeah, it's early on in the episode, and he's talking to the camera about how he's
And then he's like, nope, I'm gonna live through today. It's going to be good. And then Philadelphia comes in and borrows salt.
Can I have a cup of salt?
I think maybe she wants salt and pepper. Like, she ran out of both.
Yeah, she ran out of salt
time.
And pepper and needed salt and pepper for some reason. And then
in this episode, he's been hired as Princess Penelope's butler.
Yeah, because she drops a pen while signing a lease and he picks it up. She's like, you'd make a great butler. But she talk with a British accent?
Yeah, she does have a British accent.
You'd make a great butler. You'd make a good
butler. Oh, you would.
That was flawless, Joe.
Thank you. I had a British person on the podcast. So.
A great butler. She's a girl. She's a gal.
Boy, you'd make a
They call them birds over there.
You'd make a proper good butler, you would.
Too right, Chipperoo.
Too right.
A dingo ate my baby.
Wrong country.
There's a podcast I listen to. Do you listen to the Weekly Planet?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Because every time they talk about Spider-Man now and they do a Tom Holland impression, it's always, "Oh, Mr. Feige, sir, can I please have a word with you?"
It's great.
It's great. Like he's on an Oliver. So great. Anyway,
back to this mastercraft scene.
Later that day, after Richard is hired as Princess Penelope's butler
for like two hours,
he's being evicted. We know it's the same day because we're wearing the same clothes. It's clearly the same day. And he's like, "You're evicted?" He's like, "Yeah, you didn't pay your rent." And she says, "We know you got this great new job with Princess Penelope. Why aren't you paying your rent?" It's like, "I just got that job like 10 minutes ago."
Not like it opened up with like a large stipend. Yeah. Here you go.
There wasn't a signing bonus.
Exactly. There's no signing bonus.
Oh, we also know in that scene, because Charlie keeps telling us over and over again as she hires Richard as the butler, that this is an at-will America. You can just fire him anytime. We're told this many times.
You can hire or fire him
anytime you want. That's great.
Pretty sure that's how it works in Britain, too.
I didn't... This was a referendum on right to work. Another subtle hint by Tommy Wiseau.
So, and the reason why this brings it back to this being France's America, it's a little weird because France is very pro-union.
Yes.
Except... I think they got their idea of socialism through America's revolution.
That was a very tumultuous time, during the communist... Well, the socialist revolution really takes place after the independence wars, right?
Yeah.
But then Napoleon, if he becomes king again, would have squashed that socialist movement. Uh-huh.
And thus...
The communist movement doesn't really take off the ground because Marxism has no place to...
Lenin doesn't exist. Because he probably got killed, his relatives got killed or something. So
interesting.
And then the Marxism would have maybe taken hold in America a little bit because that was the labor unions.
Mm-hmm. Because those walkie-talkie phones, they had to be made by someone.
And where are those getting made? China.
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 No, you're not saying it right. China.
China. China.
Your bias is showing.
China.
China. Anyway, so.
So he keeps saying,
I can be hired or fired at any time.
Anytime. You can drop, Charlie goes on to great lengths to tell us that he can be fired or hired at any time.
Can we talk about,
no.
The Troy
no,
CC
but.
scene?
No, but.
No, but. Because after Troy's threesome,
yes,
he's super high.
And super hungry.
And super hungry. And Cece comes to his door. I don't even think there's a reason why she shows up there.
She wants salt. She's making soup.
She really wants... Oh, yeah, she's making soup. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought, oh, chicken soup? And Troy is hallucinating. He's had so much of the pot that he's hallucinating.
Oh, God. He's like, you're a tiger. He thinks the chicken is a tiger.
We actually get a scene.
The chicken has a tiger.
Tiger head. Overlaid on it. Yep.
Green screened. Trust me. It gets a lot better.
He wants to eat the tiger. He doesn't want to eat the chicken. He thinks the chicken is a tiger and he wants to eat the tiger.
Except at the end, he's like, I want to eat your chicken!
Yeah. Which is like his catchphrase from the first episode.
Which is the prequel to Requiem for a Dream, I'd say. Oh. How his face gets like all... Argh.
Well, then, like...
Because Troy...
He talks about looking into her eyes and seeing the future, and their future is
the
together.
The future together, yeah.
And then he screams at her, FOREVER! CeCe!
Because screaming conveys emotion in Troy's acting.
That's acting!
CeCe!
Forget subtlety, that's the yes and method.
Yeah.
We want just screaming.
How hard was it for Troy to get room 420?
Yeah, he must have lobbied for it, right?
Or maybe it's a cursed room, and anybody who ends up there becomes the Troy.
He actually lives on the sixth floor.
He was a successful businessman and then got this apartment in this Glasgow apartment complex.
He's like a high level. I mean, he has to be of a certain stature to get into the Glasgow apartment complex, obviously.
Only fucking princesses are allowed
there. Yeah. So he was like a big league stock market guy.
Yeah.
Had his life on track, and he stays in room 420.
And it cursed him.
Takes him down. Huh.
Either that, or he lives in an actual room, like, 613, but he actually just went out and bought 420.
Well, he also changed the one across the hall, because it's 419 across the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's very committed to it.
Yeah.
To the illusion.
He's like, if I look out my door and it says 604 there, then that's not going to work for me. I have to change that one to 419.
It all has to line up, otherwise this show would make no sense.
we glossed over the in the eviction scene when the crazy cut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Richard gets all pissed off that they want to evict him, which never gets resolved. Like, apparently,
well, he just has to put $100 apart. He puts down $100 deposit.
She's like, come back tomorrow with $100 deposit.
And you can
which
stay.
She's already has a security deposit. She doesn't have to put down more deposit. He has to pay rent.
That's how rent works, Joe. You just keep adding more to your deposit.
You just keep depositing. And then, so he gets pissed off, and he crumples up the eviction notice and throws it away, and he exits. But then the scene cuts to a few seconds earlier, where he is now arguing with BB and crumpling up the paper and exiting again. But the sound keeps going as if that doesn't happen.
It's the Jackie Chan method of editing, which is when you throw a punch in a movie, you show the person throwing the punch, and then you show the next scene will actually show the punch being thrown and making connection. So that way it looks super hard. You get to see the punch twice.
That scene punched me.
I heard about some action movie, kung fu movie, where they just, like, every punch they deleted a few frames so that it looked that much faster.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would work.
Yeah.
So they deleted a few scenes and then added them back in.
Yeah.
It was like the movie, like, skips.
Uh-huh.
Like The Matrix.
And then it catches up on it to itself.
It's so weird.
And we rewound it. It wasn't like a flaw in my DVD or something like that. It's like, that's the way it is. Uh-huh.
Well, because it's a different camera angle. Because it's yeah.
It jumps, yeah. It like jumps over a little bit. They repositioned the camera and started again. And oh, wait, yeah. What else is in there? Oh, yeah, because Richard wants to complain before he leaves that scene. And then Charlie's like, has this take a number picture that's got a grenade on it.
Yeah, take a number.
It's like, you see that? Take a number. Take a number. What number do you have?
One?
I have one.
Okay, then what can I do for you?
Tension resolved.
Conflict deflated.
And then they keep telling him, don't use that F word like you like to use. Stop using the F word, which he doesn't ever use.
BB says that to Richard.
Yeah.
Who's like a clean cut, weird.
Wearing a bow tie.
Bizarre guy. He does not drop the F bomb that much.
Or at all.
Or it's like the three-letter one. Like, yeah.
Don't go saying fag. I know you like to drop that F word. What if it's like a British city? Don't go saying Farhampton or something.
She hates that. Princess Penelope hates the word Farhampton. What are you talking about? When I had on subway in London, the last line on the subway, I think it's the blue line, is Cock Fosters. So yeah, and then what? Charlie doesn't like Richard because he tried to kill himself almost 10 years ago.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then they had the cut, and then they brought it back to the same scene where they're talking like, oh, we really can't evict him because he tried to kill himself 10 years
ago. Okay, I think I remember that. I don't remember him saying I don't like him because he tried to kill himself.
I don't think he said
this 10 years. I think it was something. I don't remember. Yeah, closely as I'm watching the dialogue of this movie. Or this TV show. It's not even a movie. It felt like a movie, but it was only like 28 minutes long.
We were sitting there for like an hour.
Somehow, yeah, I still had recorded an hour of stand.
Well, we watched the DVD menu for a good 10 minutes just to get in the mood, which is just like going. we skipped the flasher.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said in my notes.
Princess Penelope is assaulted by a flasher.
She's walking down the hallway.
It after has to she be gets Mr. B, right?
I don't know. We don't know who it is.
We don't know who it is.
We don't even know gender.
He's covered in a coat and a large black
like a red
sensor bar.
Like, yeah, and a red cape thing and a hat.
So, way overcompensating. So that has to be Tommy Wiseau.
Yes, I need the biggest. It's Brett. Yeah, it's probably Ricky Rick.
Yeah. That was Ricky Rick.
I need the biggest sensor bar to cover my massive dog.
It was huge.
It's Tommy Wiseau. Cloaca.
Cloaca, yeah. My ova depositor is showing. That is obscene. Don't want people to see where I lay my eggs. I'm sure it's just some kind of giant caterpillar that's underneath that Tommy Wiseau mask. Pulsating.
It's like Men in Black. It's just a big bug.
Yeah.
An Egger suit.
It's an Egger suit. An Egger suit.
Why did I write down song question mark?
Oh, because the chant that they did to Princess Penelope.
Yeah,
when she
they all line up and they do like a bizarre.
Like, rah, rah, rah.
I have written down.
Yay, Princess Penelope's here. And then they're like, none of them know the words. It's like they're all improvising different chants.
And at one point, someone's going to say, Tim was going to say, like, you have a great ass or something like that. And
yeah, but like Mariana's already on top of covering his mouth, like so rehearsed.
I was writing down, was it a greeting or a curse?
Ooh.
It sounded like cultist chanting.
Yay,
to me.
Yay, yay, Princess Riddle.
That's what I heard, actually.
No, she's cursed to live there forever.
Well, she only stayed there, what, we find out last summer she was there for just the summer. Because the other girl was in Hawaii and missed it.
Yeah, Mariana.
They go to Hawaii.
She didn't get to meet Princess Penelope last summer.
Because she was in Hawaii, apparently all summer.
Hmm.
I know.
Well, I mean, she is staying at the Glasgow Apartments, I mean.
And they just don't let anybody in there. We established that.
Super,
like,
super
it can't just
elite.
Be a pizza guy what? And decide that there's two hot lesbians that kind of want to fuck you, and then Philadelphia roaming around.
And then just run downstairs and get an apartment like right then and there.
We'll come back to this in a future episode, but so, spoiler alert, Hawaii is part of France.
Yes.
What if Glasgow...
I thought America was part of France in this.
No. America exists, but more fragmented, because the Louisiana Purchase didn't happen.
Okay, so it's much smaller, you're saying.
But more
Except,
pieces.
Except, I didn't catch that this was the Glasgow Apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe America owns a part of Scotland.
I need some contextual history for that. Your case?
Number one... Princess of Britain is in town
what
for
if,
the summer.
Oh, what if it's instead of in our universe, England came to America and killed everyone and conquered it.
Uh-huh.
What if Scotland did in this universe?
Ooh, I like where you're going. Let me get out that corkboard. I'll
be
right back.
Well, they didn't have England's resources, so you know America's just like the original colonies, and France still has Louisiana and Florida. And Mexico probably still owns the entire West.
No.
Weren't they holding a statue of Mount Rushmore?
No, it was like a God Bless America kitten statue.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what they were singing God Bless America to at an opening of one scene for no particular reason.
Which is how we know it is definitely in America.
I think Wiseau is worried about getting deported. So he's like putting this pro-American propaganda
in
stuff.
No, see, I like that the history of this world is still ours up till France conquering Russia. So... France, with the Empire of Russia under its belt, and not giving up the Louisiana Purchase because it doesn't need to fund its wars anymore, has all these extra resources and diminishes the power of Britain to the point where it's no longer...
The fork in the timeline has to go way back, like, because there's still dinosaurs in this universe, so like we have the fork in the alternate universe has to begin billions of years ago for that to happen.
When a time traveler steps out on a butterfly. Oh, fuck. I hope this doesn't mess things up.
This one's going to cost me.
Oh, this is going to hurt.
Flash forward to the future.
What's a donut, Homer?
Oh, it's raining again.
It's raining. Classic
Simpsons.
I'm pretty sure we also referenced the Simpsons Nightmare Treehouse of Horror in the last episode.
Well, the monkey paw.
The monkey paw. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The turkey's a little dry.
The turkey's a little dry!
I wrote down that at one point, Charlie answers the phone and says, Tim?
Oh, God.
Like, not hello, yes, this is Charlie. Tim?
He also says chocolate ice cream into a walkie-talkie.
He does, because Philadelphia was sad and depressed in the hallway.
Yeah, because she's having a crisis of sexuality. She doesn't know what to do. So I'm going to get you some ice cream.
He gives her a hug that she tries to kind of run
away
from.
Oh, God. I've never seen a person cower so quickly. Like, oh. She was like,
she's a porn star.
You should see Purple Rain.
Dude.
Have you seen Purple Rain?
No.
No.
There's a moment in Purple Rain where Prince decides, we did an episode about Purple Rain. Where Prince decides to sing the song that his band mates have written. These two women have written this song called Purple Rain. And at the climax of the movie is him deciding to, like, be more collaborative and sing it. And he goes to give the one girl a kiss, like, good job. And she goes, ugh.
It's so funny.
We're keeping that shot.
We're putting that in there. But I recoiled. Yeah, it's a metaphor or something.
We all do when he tries to kiss us. It's not just you.
Purple Rain's insane. You should check it out. You should watch that.
Okay.
So yeah, I was just, he answers the phone, Tim, like, does he do that? Does he do that every time? Tim? No.
This is Tim.
This is Colin at Verizon. Oh, what a day. Click. Do you guys want to guess how many what a days there are in this episode?
Oh, wow, okay.
10.
There are 10.
Sorry.
You got it.
I'm going to say 10. We're going to go Price is Right roll. I'm going to go 11. Fuck, Andrew! I got 10.
He got it exactly right.
Yes, 500 bucks, please.
10 what a days in this episode, because some of them are like strung right together. Like, he'll say it two, three times.
Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day.
And I feel like since we were talking a little bit, I might have missed one or two, but 10.
No, I was paying attention to it.
We were all on that.
Which brings us up to 13 series-wide so far. There was 3 in the last episode.
Okay, yeah, because I remember we started and there just wasn't that many, but we felt like he says this all the time.
He does, apparently.
But it's not in the first episode.
I couldn't believe there was 10 in one episode.
It wasn't even that many transitions. The first episode was just transition. I think there was like 10 or 12 jumps to different scenes, and this one it felt... I only have, like, I wrote it down. 1, 2, let's count them out. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then the party scene. 7 transitions in the party scene.
Okay, so.
And that includes the transition from the office back to the office.
It didn't feel as gratuitous this time, but it's still insane that there's that many, there's only that many scenes.
And it is every other.
It's
every, so the office, somewhere in the apartment complex. Office, somewhere in the apartment. Office. So
oh, okay. It is. And do we get transitions between all of those?
Yes.
Yep.
Now you're a music major. How well composed is that?
It makes me want to stab my ears.
So it's an earworm, you're saying. It could form like the bass of some really party song.
You're like really lucky I don't have a knife near me. That's how well it's composed. Actually, the beat section is really cool. Sadly, you don't hear it. Unless except you on the DVD.
Really watch the shit out of the DVD intro screen.
Yeah, and you can't just get past,
you gotta be in it. Boom. Yeah, it's got a bass drop. It's real nice.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other note I have is that Troy vanishes. Like, when he's hanging out with Philadelphia and Patricia, there's a doorbell, and he's like, I'm gonna get the door. And then he just disappears.
Yeah, because the door's next to them. They're on a couch. The door is... literally next to them.
Plus, he literally vanishes. Like, it cuts and he's gone.
He is gone. And then they have this scene where they talk and they're like, oh, I'm getting so tipsy on wine. and then they're talking about their kiss. And Philadelphia's like, one kiss doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing. You're being such a fucking bitch.
Oh, yeah, that was the line over. You're being such a bitch.
She says a fucking bitch like 3 times.
A fucking bitch.
But then says that she's jealous. Oh, and Trisha's, like, trying to talk it up like she can just, like, I'll give you the best thing ever. She's like, I can give you the best Philadelphia. Where is that? My handwriting just turns into gibberish. Wow.
She's getting pentagrams everywhere.
Oh, and then, because she keeps saying bitch to her.
I started writing backwards.
Yeah.
I don't recognize some of these symbols.
I think this is Aramaic. It's a dead language. I'm going to need somebody to translate that. She says that, because she keeps calling her a bitch. Philadelphia keeps calling Trisha a bitch. Trisha says to her, the words that keep coming out of your pretty little mouth.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
And then Philadelphia's like, let's have a threesome. And she's like, that's the smartest thing you've said all day with your pretty mouth.
Yeah. And Trisha's super excited. That's also what I wrote about that. Philadelphia, let's have a three-way. Trisha, super excited. I didn't say that. Super excited.
I wish characters said their subtext like that. That's maybe the one thing this show's missing. Super excited.
I feel like you could get away with that with, like, one of those off-the-wall characters that Jason Mantzoukas would play.
Yeah.
They always just give out their emotional subtext. Super excited. Get a bang in a three-way.
I was watching Hot Fuzz the other night. I love the guy who can barely speak. He's just like, tits.
I'm through all my notes.
I'm out. I've run out.
I think I could find more stuff, but we don't need to.
I could talk about the sound editing for days. Like, again... there's one point, it's during the, you fucking bitch scene, where, like, the boom mic operator just needed to go in, like, another 10 feet, and
you think it was outside.
He just needed to be in the room.
He's somewhere in the room.
I'm trying something, guys. We're gonna try to do the sound outside. Let's see how it comes.
Let's roll with it. It could be great. We could be the next Citizen Kane.
Because when I see this, I think Citizen Kane. Oh,
and then, like, that damn basketball is so not good. There's one time when you said, it was the first time Tim comes in and he slams the ball on the ground. And Tommy, I think, actually says, stop bouncing it or something, or stop bouncing that ball.
Stop. Is he directing right now?
He doesn't direct.
Yeah.
He just lets it happen. He just puts a bunch of Kramers in the room and just lets them all do something wacky.
Now remember, no buts, okay?
I want no yes in here, all no's. You should just be contradicting each other the whole time. See where the scene goes. So, Joe, would you recommend that people watch this?
That's a complicated question.
I have to refer to my lawyer.
It kind of depends on how you feel about other Tommy Wiseau stuff. Like, definitely watch The Room. Like, that's the ideal barometer for if you're going to find any joy in anything else he's done. But, yeah.
If you are a human being who enjoys life and being outside and family and prospects of sanity.
Laughter and
jokes.
I mean, it is a beautiful sunny day out and we are in a dark, dank, dog piss filled room.
Literally, because, I got a puppy who just likes to piss on everything.
Oh, yeah. And that's about right for watching this.
Yeah.
Really sets the atmosphere. Really sets the atmosphere.
If you somehow found this DVD in, like, a garage sale.
Like a Jumanji thing.
And
you know,
were able to talk down the price to about 50 cents.
There's no one who's buying this and turning around and selling in a garage sale. I find that extremely hard to believe. Maybe you can get it on Amazon. I feel like you'd find this in
a Needful Things store. But you're getting cursed as you buy it.
But there's, like, I wouldn't spend more than $1 on this.
I think we're at $10.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this costs like $10.
Unless you know you're going to like it. And, like, we saw it first on Hulu, and then they dropped it. Yeah.
So if you had $10 in Amazon Prime, and you were like, I could give this $10 to orphans or
just so
refugees.
I understand what these guys are talking about on my favorite podcast of all time.
Yep.
Yeah. If you had $10 and
feel like you should donate it to charity.
If you had to choose between, you know, spending that $10 on this or burning it with fire, I would still maybe think about just burning it on fire.
And that would still be less of a waste than becoming a Patreon subscriber to this podcast network.
Yeah. We are describing this perfectly, by the way. Like, we've gone through this episode pretty much all the way through.
We're very excited that we saw Asian Mr. B. I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. That's the context of Black versus Yellow.
Yeah.
They are.
Next episode.
I'm so excited because we had a fight with them in episode 1.
Pretty sure it's episode 4.
We want it to be episode 3, but it's out there. It's coming.
It's coming. It's 4 or 5. I don't remember what episode 3 is. I should have looked.
Who fucking knows? Who cares?
If only there were
We need Ray for that, though. We're not equipped.
For movies on the internet. The next episode is called Sliding Cake.
Cake farts.
Don't remember that at all.
Nope.
Next episode is called
Sliding Cakes. Sliding Cake.
I remember Black versus Yellow. I remember
that's number 4.
Ricky Rick Takes Over.
That's number 5.
And I remember, what is the last one called? Like Sweet Super Sex?
Triple Vanilla Sex.
Triple Vanilla Sex.
Triple Vanilla Sex.
Yeah.
Ew. That's a tarp.
I'm okay.
I'm being Troy. This is Troy's acting method. I guess I'm okay.
Forever! CC!
Oh, actually, that was kind of a funny part in this. It's funny. Andrew's funny part of the episode. When it involves Troy again. The last one was the screaming and then him being like, I'm okay. This episode, it was, we're going to be throwing a party for Fifi. And Cece was getting super excited, and he just slightly slips in, oh, we're going to eat Fifi, and she's still excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what'd you say? And then, because then she's getting like, everybody loved Popeye chicken, but no, you're not eating my Fifi.
It's really uncomfortable.
By the way, just in case you guys didn't realize this, Cece is black.
My flawless. This is why we need Ray as a cover for our shitty racism.
Well, we'll just say that Andrew's black. Radio, who knows?
Welcome to Quote Unquote Guilty, where three presumably straight white guys will talk about racial and sexual issues.
We could talk about the Disaster Artist trailer.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because it looks fucking awesome, and I can't wait.
James Franco really dives into that character.
Yeah, I couldn't picture him as Wiseau until the trailer.
I saw it.
Oh, no, I saw it immediately. I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to be perfect as Wiseau.
I also could not picture his brother as Greg Sestero, but he also looks great.
Really?
Yeah.
That one,
he looks a lot like him. Just, like, handsome and bearded, and he's shorter than Greg Sestero, but he looks a lot like him, yeah.
When does this come out?
I don't know. While you're on this database of internet movies, you should check when the Disaster Artist comes out. I'm hoping it's, like, award season.
The Oscar goes to...
Because have either of you read the book, The Disaster
no,
Artist?
No, I've not
read
it.
You have to. It's so fascinating.
Because you were telling us that there's not a lot of drugs that you would think.
No drugs. He's, like, completely clean.
Yeah.
Straight edge.
He's just bizarre.
Yeah. That was, like, the amazing thing. Because one of our early theories was he's just a product of cocaine and meth. It was like, no drugs.
No drugs. According to Greg Sestero.
Why would he lie? December 8th, 2017.
Yes. Award season. All right. Well, let's...
Oh, we got Guilty Pleasures.
Let's wrap up. Yeah, let's talk about the Guilty Pleasures of characters in The Neighbors. Let's do new ones. Do you guys remember what we did last time?
I know we did Philadelphia because I thought you were so disgusted by her. I wanted you to know what...
We did Philadelphia. We did Cece. We did Charlie. Yeah. And we did Tommy Wiseau's Monkey Paw.
Yes.
That's right. Okay.
Those are the four we've already covered. Any other characters, preferably that actually featured in this episode?
Which many of them are.
There's a lot of
good
choices.
There's Tim, Lula, Trisha, Troy, Mariana, Richard, Phil, Mr. B.
It's almost
Phil.
Sorry, Philadelphia. I just call her Phil.
Philly.
Phil.
Twisted Philly.
It's like Danny for Daenerys.
Okay.
Give either me or Johnny a character to get into their guilty pleasure.
Last time you gave me.
Yes, I did.
So I'm gonna give you. That way you don't screw
me. We've switched our seating orders, so we're good.
I'm gonna give you Fifi.
The chicken. All right. Johnny, you give one to Andrew.
You're gonna wait to see what you don't want me to steal for you the one that I'm gonna give to.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you guys go, and then so if you come up with what I want to do, then.
The Flasher.
That's what I was going to do. That's what I was going to pick.
Johnny just flipped Joe off.
Wait, I had a backup. Okay, yeah. I want you, Johnny, to do John Wayne Gratin Potatoes.
John Wayne El Gratin Potatoes.
John Wayne Gratin Potatoes.
All right. I got to channel my inner Wayne Brady. John Wayne Gacy Brain.
John Wayne Brady.
John Wayne Gacy Brady El Gratin.
Well, as we all know, Fifi is a female in the Wysopia, so clearly she likes existing for the gratification of male chickens.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Not just male chickens.
People alike, yeah. I assume.
As we established that a Fifi, in the first episode, according to Andrew, is a sexual object to which...
That is true, yeah.
People can take their sexual frustrations out of.
It's like a glove full of warm water that you fuck.
I'm in.
It sounds pretty good, actually. I haven't tried it.
I bet it doesn't nag you afterwards.
And why'd you come all over me?
I was trying to sleep. Why'd you blow your load in my face?
Why didn't you get the tarp out? Come on.
This is why we have a tarp.
It's tarpless sex, really. That's what it is.
This is the worst. You just, you know, looking into each other's eyes lovingly. It's terrible.
Terrible. I also feel like Fifi might be suicidal. Like, she keeps running off, hoping that someone's going to catch her and cut her head off and turn her into soup. So, yeah, that's Fifi. Two for the price of one.
All right, well, John Wayne El Gratin Potatoes.
I'm just going to go with the weirdest ones I can think of every episode.
Even the non sequiturs based around what we talk about.
Yeah.
Well, the monkey paw was the...
Started his life as a fairly standard russet potato out of Idaho. Traveling from here to there, solving mysteries in the back of a van with a dog and a bunch of kids.
No, but I think he was...
Sorry, technically no, that's
but he was a yam. With superpowers.
It was a misnomer being called an Idaho potato. He was adopted as a small yam, which is also a sweet potato, by a kind family of potatoes as he dropped out of the sky from planet Yamyon. So he was traveling with these kids who were solving mysteries and rewriting histories on DuckTales.
Woo?
Woohoo. which is his guilty pleasure.
DuckTales?
Yes.
Not bad.
God, the Flasher.
Besides the obvious.
Did he bring that black bar from home? Or was it provided?
That's what I was just thinking. Is like, has he mastered black bar censorship technology? And he's just testing it out?
And
I can't see your penis at all. It's amazing.
Wait, could be a woman. We have not established the pleasure.
I can't see your vagina at all. It's amazing.
We cannot see your ova depositor.
His guilty pleasure is actually that black bar. I'm stealing from you guys a little bit. But it is trying to perfect it to the perfect level. Like, he or she wants to make sure it's, like, set at the exact right spot. Because if you notice, it's moving around quite a bit on screen as well.
Which is the issue of a black bar generator.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's a real black bar perfectionist.
Yeah.
Or she.
It. They
has become more accepted.
Okay. So they want to make sure that just, like, fits perfectly. I think, actually, it is a woman. Because I think the bar was set sideways.
It was set rectangular. It was like a square, wasn't it?
No, it was a rectangle.
Yeah, it was very wide.
Like a rectangle. Where if they had set it up correctly, it would have also covered her chesticles and her...
We didn't see the chest. I thought it was like the person was wearing a red draped outfit.
Hadn't perfected it yet.
Okay.
She's going to perfect it. She just needs to get that 90 degree turn.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I figured
Who do you think the identity of the Flasher is?
It's Ricky Rick. Yes, and I know I said it's a she, but...
He could be hermaphroditic.
That's why Zoe is probably hermaphroditic.
Yeah.
We all know it's a
why the shape of the black bar was so odd, just to cover the weird gaping pincer maw that is Tommy Wiseau's genitals.
I think it's Joey. I think he's fitting right in the new apartment and just walks around flashing.
Oh, we didn't see the pizza guy. Yeah. He did not show up in the list of people, so yeah. And Princess Penelope, as we established, walks immediately out, is in the hallway.
I would say it's Princess Penelope, except she's in the scene. She's the victim of the Flasher.
Why cannot she be the victim and the Flasher?
Ah, because I've seen them in the same place at the same time. Unlike Clark Kent and Superman. Wait a minute.
I see your Spider-Man logic, but I've never seen Batman and a tiger in the same room. Does that mean Batman is a tiger? Because I would be very cool with that.
I think he is a tiger.
That's fucking cool.
That's pretty cool, right?
That's pretty fucking cool. That's how he knows all that ninja shit.
Like all tigers do.
Tigers are ninja shit.
And Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Is the Flasher's guilty pleasure?
Yes.
Back to it.
I would love to see the Flasher going to buy Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I would like to see the scene right before the Flasher jumps out where they are working themselves up to do this. All right, because Penelope's coming around the corner. We can do this. Today's the day. Today's the day I'm gonna make something of myself. I'm gonna show it up. Whoa!
Today's the day I show my genitals to British royalty. Oh, we've been waiting so long.
I show her my crown jewels.
Andrew, what do you got to plug?
Dealing with Philip, I should be getting another episode up here soon.
I would recommend listening to Dealing with Philip. They're an excellent episode.
So yeah, and then the 1988 film Bloodsport.
Cool. Johnny, what do you want to plug or suggest?
I would plug science in general. I mean,
science is pretty great.
Just learn some fucking science,
learn
people.
Learn some science, do some things. We got a topic we talked about that coming up that I want to do.
Yeah?
I have to do research.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I am 100% in on this. But yes, I would just say, just learn some science, people.
Yeah, learn some science. It won't hurt you.
It does not hurt you to know a little bit. Maybe it hurts some of your pre-established notions about the world, but it's okay.
I will recommend the first season of Broadchurch. That's as far as I've gotten so far. It's good. It's not as great as everyone thinks, but I watched it for Jodie Whittaker as the new Doctor.
Ooh.
And yeah, she's pretty great in it, so looking forward to seeing what she does as the Doctor. But Chris Chibnall sucks as a writer, so...
But we know that a female Doctor's already ruined it. Just by announcing that they've ruined it.
It's gonna get her vagina all over the...
All over the TARDIS.
All over the TARDIS. It's probably also bigger on the inside.
And as we've already established, the Doctor's a woman and the Doctor's wife. That means it's now a lesbian relationship.
Ah, interesting.
And we know that lesbians are just waiting for men to come along.
Just waiting around for a good man, yes.
Not even a good man, just a man. Any penis.
Yeah, just any man will do. Our Twitter is @QuoteGuilty. My personal Twitter is @Play_Architect. You can find us at facebook.com/QuoteUnquoteGuilty. Email us at QuoteUnquoteGuilty@gmail.com. Or contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/wordsalad, which has all kinds of fun exclusive content now, including a show where me and Jeff watched the first 15 minutes of Three-Headed Shark Attack and then wrote our own version of the movie. Or Blockbuster Autopsy, where we rip apart big budget movies that are shit. Stuff like that. Lots of fun. The List of Shame, yeah. Andrew.
The List of Shame.
We've done The List of Shame on there. Mm-hmm. Which we should do another one because it's been a while.
As a Patreon subscriber myself, if you subscribe to Patreon, Joe will put peanut butter. You can put peanut butter anywhere you want on your body and Joe will lick it off.
That's true. Yeah.
That's any level of subscriber.
Any level. You could throw 2 bits at us.
I don't even think they take 50 cents as a Patreon.
I'll pay you for I'll become your patron for the opportunity.
And it's an at-will position. You can fire him at any time.
Andrew's Twitter is at VG Composer.
Yep.
And Dealing with Philip's Twitter is at Deal with Philip.
Yep.
You got a Twitter, Johnny?
I do, but I just use it to describe to you guys. Okay. I literally have never tweeted in my life.
Okay, that's fair. That's about it then.
Kind of thing. Should we plug any of the other great Word Salad production TV shows? Or how about the podcast?
If you can think of any great ones.
All right, see you guys later.
No, go check out the other Word Salad podcast. Dealing with Philip, I think, is still a Word Salad podcast.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there.
Cadaver Cast and the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews.
Mm-hmm. Science.
And science. Listen with science in your heart. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, it's fun.
We'll maybe do the next one around when Disaster Artist comes out.
Yes!
So we should do something YSO related for that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys have any anti-plugs?
Anti-plugs? Yeah, anything done by Michael Bay.
good Boom. Call. Good call.
I would also plug... Well, I can do... I want to go back and retro-plug something.
Okay.
The 1985 soundtrack for the movie Transformers. The cartoon movie. Fantastic. I've been listening to it for 30-some years now.
I would anti-plug... a horror movie that just came out called WTF. It's fucking terrible. I had to review it for filmmonthly.com, so you can go read my scathing review there.
Scathing!
It's awful in every way.
Okay, so I have another plug, which is PlayerUnknown's Battleground. Oh. It is so much fun. It's a PC game. My anti-plug would be PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, because it prevents you from doing anything else in the world.
Oh, it's so good.
So that's why you're not editing podcasts for my network?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I've actually wanted to do a podcast about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, but people here don't play PC games.
Nope.
Have not.
Because you guys are not part of the Master Race.
It's the Master Race!
Well, I'm white, so I am.
He's in.
And blonde.
His name is Sanders. For fuck's sake.
Well, for now.
For now, Joe. Ooh, what's on the horizon?
Is that a pun?
Actually, when this comes out, I'll be married.
Hopefully, maybe.
Or not.
Or not. Either way. Anyway, good night, Internet.
This podcast is a Word Salad production. Wonky Oranges, Righteous Dragons.
I'm done with this.